The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. A wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Oh, that was a particularly radio friendly kind of voice there.
Yeah, you were very.
Thank you so much for joining us. Please call in with any requests. Do you ever listen to Delilah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, there's a whole episode, I think, on The Daily about Delilah.
I listened to it. I had no idea that that happened with her son, or even I didn't know anything about her.
I remember listening to her when I was younger because she's a Bay Area. It was on a Bay Area. I mean, it passed on the Bay Area station that I used to like.
She was on everything, though.
Yeah, she was all over the place. I guess that's true.
But she sounded like she was from wherever you were from. It just had like an intimacy to it. I don't know. Maybe she's still on. Is she still on?
It's Delilah. Yeah. Just evening time. And
the way she would play the love songs, but then like dedicate.
Yeah.
To the, yeah. And really like out there.
And throw in some really like great, you know, advice and, you know, to just count what matters to you.
Was it The Daily? Love. Was it like a Sunday episode?
Yeah, it was one. I think it was one of like the weekend things.
Yeah, like they had done a whole story on her. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, really
check her
great,
out, you guys.
Delilah. Oh.
You've never heard Whitney Houston played with such love and deliberation.
Yeah. When you're driving,
yes.
I would just be driving in my car in a far place before I had like, this was before I used, you know, Waze. You know, I'd be like, know where I'm going and just be on the road. Back when I had a convertible and I used to smoke a cigarette in the car a long time ago.
I wish you had never done that.
I know, but I did.
For your lung's sake.
So absolutely nothing to do with Delilah, but we've got Leah back on the pod and we love ourselves a Leah Weinberg.
Leah Weinberg out of New York, who has been on another one of our episodes and I think an Instagram live, and
yes,
we've mentioned her a couple of times. Yes. Owner and director of Color Pop Events. It was episode 181 that she was on. And at the time when she was on that time, she was at the time writing a wedding planning book.
Yeah.
And our episode with her about this topic ended up being put into the book.
Yeah.
As like an after, like it wasn't initially going to be part of her. It wasn't like one of the chapters and she added it maybe after the last chapter as like a epilogue, or she added it to the chapter list and she mentions us in it.
I know. It was a surprise. We didn't know about that in advance. She didn't tell us.
But the episode was about what happens after the wedding day and with talking to us, and we bring a lot of our listener questions to the table when we have a guest on, especially another wedding planner, because we don't just want it to be like recycled wedding planner talk all the time. So it was the questions I think that we brought up and that naturally came up in the course of the conversation that got her thinking like, there is something to, you know, to be said about what happens after the wedding.
Yeah.
Even though her book is about wedding planning, but there's a lot of like little dynamics there. So it was a very cool that she included that. And the book is out now. You can get it wherever you buy books on Amazon if you want to. And it's called The Wedding Roller Coaster.
But in this episode specifically, we're talking about wedding parties, which is a hot topic.
And a full chapter in her book.
And a full chapter. And we, from you listening, we get so many questions from listeners about, you know, what tasks can I give the wedding party? Or I'm having freaking drama. Wedding party drama.
Yeah. I want to fire somebody. Can I do that?
Why did I even have a maid of honor? Like I shouldn't even have had, you know,
I'm asking five people and I could ask a sixth, but yes. If I ask the sixth, then I have to ask like 7, 8, 9, and 10 because they're all cousins and they're like,
do they have to be even on each side, male, female, like the whole nine. So we're like, okay, cool. Leah, let's talk about it. Let's bring the info to the listeners and just dissect it all. And that's what we're doing.
And one thing we talk about a lot is like whether or not you even need a wedding party, or if you're feeling like you don't want one, that's fine. And, you know, cool. And people are doing that and it is a thing. So I guess I didn't realize how much that question came up. Question, like to even have one, or I don't want one, like, do I have to have a wedding party? And there's this like weird pressure with all the photos and the robes and the butts and the bachelorettes and the bikinis
and the matching jammies and bride the tribe.
Not everyone's into that.
No, it's not everyone's into that. And that is A-okay, peeps.
And now also there's some really good stuff in here about like how you and your wedding party can be cool and nice to your wedding planner.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We definitely talked about how you and I have both worked with wedding parties before that are like our enemy almost.
Like this weird, like they don't like the female wedding planner.
Power thing.
Yeah.
She's agreed. My friend. I think I know.
Yeah, right. You don't know her.
Well, I've bustled 3,500 dresses in my life. So if I could just get in there to button this up, that would
be. Can I just put my hand up her dress, please? Thanks.
It's nothing I haven't seen before.
So yeah, this one's good. And I always love talking to another wedding planner. It's so nice. So refreshing.
Yep. This is a good episode and her book is really great. And if you have questions, as always, dear listeners, then just email us. And if it's a question specifically for Leah, we will forward it right on to her and she would be delighted. I think
I very much enjoy forwarding emails.
I could forward emails all day long.
All right, well, let's get to it so I can go have my dinner. Here is our episode with Leah Weinberg, author of Wedding Roller Coaster.
Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Leah Weinberg. I'm the owner and creative director of ColourPop Events, which is a wedding planning company based in New York City. I am also the author of the recently published book, The Wedding Roller Coaster, and I am thrilled to be on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast today.
Again.
Yes.
First episode was in the hundreds, 181, the first time you were on our podcast. And I believe you were in the drafting stage of the book at that point.
Yes. And actually our conversation spurred the entire last section of my book.
Really? Oh my God, we're in here.
You're
quoted. Did you know that, Christy? Did you know that we're in here on page 217? You didn't tell us this. I feel like you haven't told us this. That's a surprise.
I don't think I told you either. Surprise.
I love this.
And you're also linked in the ebook. In the ebook version, there's an actual hyperlink to the podcast.
Oh, how cute.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You quoted described what we do.
Yes.
So that's pretty great.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that. That's a very nice surprise.
The whole book is about wedding planning. It's for a couple, you know, a member or a couple that is planning the wedding. It's not necessarily instructive industry-wise. But when I was looking at it, it definitely seems to be a mix of tangible advice for wedding planning, like the order you do things, but along with every next step is a psychology. Here's what feelings might be coming up.
Yeah.
Why are you feeling this way? So it seemed to me that to be half instructive and half therapeutic or aspirational.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I wanted it to be practical. So I definitely did not want it to be a how-to guide. So it's not like covering all of the specific elements of how to plan a wedding, or like giving you checklists or specific, you know, timing on like, when do you send out your invites? But it was meant to kind of go chronological and talk about when you're doing some of these bigger steps, like hiring your vendors, picking a venue, doing your budget, like what big talks go along with that, what feelings might be coming up, what stress and anxiety you might have throughout the planning process, like guiding people through the planning process. But like you said, with that focus on like emotions, behavior, psychology, every step of the way. And I've found that a lot of vendors have honestly found it helpful in terms of understanding what their clients are going through. So that's been kind of a nice bonus for it to also double as essentially like a resource for vendors when it comes to understanding their clients, being able to help their clients through these moments. And also just in general, like there's tips and information that even if you aren't planning a wedding, frankly, like will help you be a better human. So it's just like, there's lots of positives to it all around.
The dynamics between friends and family and expectations and your village. And it's also peppered throughout with anecdotes, you know, real people telling their story of during the wedding planning process, I found myself in this position and here's what I wish I had done, and written by them or in their voice. And I found that really helpful too, to sort of put a solid example into some of the things that you're talking about.
I knew from the beginning of the writing process that me being a cis straight white woman, my world experience and life experience is limited to those descriptors. And so I wanted to make sure I was including a lot of different voices, a lot of different points of view in the book, because I want anybody that's getting married to be able to see themselves in this book and sort of have examples of people who have gone through this before them.
Yes. And one of the chapters, and when you and I were sort of figuring out what we were going to talk about to have you on from the book, and I mentioned wedding parties and you were like, I got a chapter for that. Yeah. And the main reason we wanted to talk about it is because there is never a week that goes by that Michelle and I don't get at least a few emails. And we've been doing this for almost 5 years. So that's a lot of emails about wedding party dynamics, drama, baggage, regrets, and also just feeling people feel really confused about various scenarios in their life. Like, I have this, this, and this, so how do I make this decision? Or I've been a bridesmaid in 12 different weddings, and now I feel like I have to ask all 12 of those friends and I don't want to. And just so many questions that we get. So we thought it would be appropriate to talk to you about it. And I wanted to kind of give you the floor, like maybe just open up, since the three of us are wedding planners, like, how do wedding planners feel about wedding parties or when a couple says, actually, we're not having a wedding party?
Yeah. So if a couple is having a wedding party, I definitely size matters to wedding planners, because I always joke that like getting people lined up for the ceremony is honestly like herding cats, because in that moment, everybody's so excited and like pumped up. Sometimes they've been drinking, even sometimes when they've not been drinking, to get people to focus in that moment and like find them wherever they're scattered and just get them to stay. Like a lot of people, they're just like wandering kittens. Like you put them in place and then next thing you know, you turn around and they've wandered off somewhere.
And some adults don't like being told to stand in a line. 100%. And they don't like being told from a woman. And I'm thinking of specific examples, but like where you're like, just stand here. Like you don't,
how hard is it?
Don't get behind the other person. Don't get in front of them. Like, just stand right here. I'm trying to be nice. Please just stand here.
Yes. For one Please more just minute. Listen to me. Yeah. I mean, honestly, and I said this at my wedding on Saturday, ceremonies are the most stressful part of the day. They're like the culmination of the most stressful part. And once I get everybody down the aisle, it's like, that is the point of the day when I can sort of breathe a sigh of relief, because everything else after that is like very smooth sailing.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if we're wrangling a ton of people, that just practically speaking makes our lives a little bit more difficult. Also, you know, pre-wedding, if we're, you know, some planners will communicate with the wedding party. And so if there's more people, they're going to be bombarded with a lot more questions. When couples don't have a wedding party, honestly, I find like from a wedding planner's perspective, it's super nice because it really just makes our jobs easier, just being honest. But there are, and I know we're going to get into this, there's like just a lot of considerations that couples have to kind of go through and weigh in deciding whether to have the wedding party or not have a wedding party.
Michelle was saying earlier, has said in other podcasts too, that for her weddings, and that it's California, her demographic, who's hiring her, which is still pretty diverse, but that not having a wedding party is just as common, if not more common. Mm-hmm. Just no wedding party at all, right, Michelle?
Yeah. I mean, most of my, I would say 70% of my clients don't have a wedding party. Yeah. Wow. And I freaking love it, man.
That's amazing. Definitely not my experience here.
And it's not your experience either, Christy.
It's not in the South either.
I'm getting all ages, different cultures. Like, so I don't know. I think it's just a thing. And I think that it just makes, which we'll talk about, for way less drama and stress for the couple, period. And I think that, I mean, just reading through this chapter, Leah, like I was like, yes. Yes. Damn it. Yes. I was like highlighting so much. And I think I do want to commend you. This is something we say on the podcast all the time, just in general, just like communicate,
be straightforward,
transparent. Don't be talking shit behind somebody's back. Like just talk, you know, and be like, it's cool. Like if you're not into it, it's totally fine. But I am so pro no wedding party. And Christy, I was trying to remember and jog my brain before we came on with Leah. We were talking to someone recently about old traditions. Was it Rabbi Block who was talking about where wedding parties
actually— Oh, how the wedding party was supposed to protect—
What it was from, like, originally. Yeah. Do you know that, Leah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why bridesmaids originally used to wear white, because they were supposed to be, that this is like way, way, way back. They were supposed to be the decoys in case like evil spirits came to kidnap the bride.
Yeah.
I thought it was sometimes not even spirits, but like marauding
people,
tribes,
yeah,
and villagers from other, yeah.
And then the reason the groom is on the right side is so that he could draw his sword.
Yes.
If he, assuming he's right-handed, he could draw his sword from his left side and protect his bride.
Yes.
It's so gross.
And the groom's party was more, it was like their little army. It was like their protection from the people that wanted to get them, whatever, you know, I don't know.
Bodyguard style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't about, you know, moral support and throwing parties and, you know, holding pretty flowers. And so it just has morphed into something so dramatic and like in so many ways, superficial. Well,
the expectations are completely unrealistic. So when you start with that, you're either going to like white knuckle it to get that expectation a reality, or the entire process is going to feel like you're, you know, ostensibly your best friends are just like letting you down, which is not a great place to be when you're already like stressed out or, you know, spending a lot of money planning this big thing, feeling a little like it's all about me for a year. And so I think I was going to say that I feel like a lot of times there are red flags for a person considering, hasn't even asked anyone, hasn't decided if they want a wedding party or not, but they're weighing the options. The first red flag is often when the question of who to choose or ask just becomes such a hurdle in and of itself. I wish more people would take that experience of being like, I just don't know who, and instead of like fighting through it, go the other way and be like, actually, since I don't know who, I'm going to think about or talk to my partner about what if we just like do it a little differently and involve people in a different way. So I would like to start to pick your brain too with, I mean, I'm assuming you did a lot of research for the book and, you know, drawing on your own experiences.
I certainly hope so.
for the people that have decided, like, yes, we do want a wedding party for whatever reason, how would you suggest, or what are some best practices or workarounds for picking who and all of the, you know, little scenarios that might crop up in there?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, just as a starting point, I think when people are picking members of the wedding party, they're pulling from different pools of people. And so it can be people from your childhood or past, like college, maybe depending on how old you are getting married, of like friend, important people from those parts in your life. There might be relatives, like siblings that need to be involved. People who you are like current close friends or like coworkers, things like that. So you kind of have to think through sort of the scope of people, first of all, that you might want to have involved. And this is kind of the part that really stinks about having a wedding party is you are essentially ranking the people in your life in some like level of importance. Like by making them a member of the wedding party, you're sort of signaling that they hold this more important place in your life than other people, which I'm sure it happens all the time that there are people in the people who are getting married, people in their lives who are kind of expecting to be asked to be a member of the wedding party. And then they don't get asked and they see these other people who are there. And it's kind of like a signal that, oh, these people are more important than you because I didn't ask you. So you kind of have to keep that in mind. I'm a big fan of not doing some things out of obligation. So like if they're, maybe you have a childhood friend, but if you've lost touch with them, they might not be the best, you know, like when you were kids, you might've been like, oh my God, you're totally going to be a bridesmaid at my wedding. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the time that you're actually getting married, it may no longer feel appropriate to have them as part of your wedding. And there's certainly, like we've already said, there's other ways to honor people or to get people involved in your wedding without giving them a specific title. Also when it comes to maybe siblings, like for me, I'm an only child, but my husband has a sister. And I wasn't super close to her at the time we were getting married. And I didn't want to have her as a member of my wedding party. So I didn't want that obligation. And I know not all family dynamics can still operate smoothly with that kind of decision, but it worked for us. And so like, that was something that I just wanted people in my wedding, part of the wedding party that just like really meant a lot to me and that I was really close to. So I made that particular decision, but yeah, it's evaluating people and then being practical about what your expectations are for them. And so you might have friends who you want to have be part of the wedding party, but you know, maybe they're just incredibly busy. Maybe they have families. They're not going to be able to really be part of anything other than just being there for you the day of, because they just can't get away for family or for work or health reasons. There's a litany of reasons why somebody might not be able to kind of show up for you in that more in-depth capacity. And then there's also the financial commitment. So being practical about what you're asking from people from a financial perspective as well.
That's a trap a lot of people fall into because they ask and the person I'm going to ask my friend who is excited and says yes. And then months go by where we're just excited and copacetic. And then I want, a bridal shower, a bachelorette and the wedding. And you need to be there 2 days early for the wedding. And those things are all 6 weeks apart from each other. And that's when the friend is like, I can't travel out of state 3 times in 18 weeks to make this happen. I can't do it. I have a job or whatever. And then it's like, but you agreed. Well, there's not a contract. Nobody signs, you know. So this goes back to that like open conversation. And also I think we would all agree that we want to encourage the marrier to be compassionate and understanding and not be an asshole when somebody says, I can't come to that.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's about setting expectations, honestly, from both sides, because you know, as the person getting married, you should communicate to the person who you're asking to be in the wedding party exactly what is being expected of them at the beginning and say to them, hey, I will totally understand if you aren't able to do all of this. And then you, as the person getting married, have to decide, you know, is there limited involvement, is that sort of like a deal breaker to them being in the wedding party? Or are you cool with them just being there for the wedding and like, that's it? And then I also think like we can educate people who are asked to be in the wedding party, because they should kind of know that they should ask questions. Like if the marrier is not upfront about what's happening, like if I'm asked to be somebody's bridesmaid, it's like, I want to be like, okay, what's the expectation regarding attire? Are you going to like pick out dresses that we have to buy? Will I have the option of finding something on my own? You know, what about the pre-wedding activities? What's expected? What are you planning? What, you know, are you expecting like us as the wedding
getting
party
pregnant
to plan? What are you paying for? Like, you know, and same the thing you mentioned earlier, like how far in advance of the wedding do you like what, when in the wedding week do we need to be in town? Are we doing activities then, dinners, all sorts of stuff. And also like with grooming services too, like what, who's participating, who's footing the bill for that. It's all, there's just so much, and it just has to be a conversation that gets had at the beginning, so both parties are on the same page as to like what's happening. And then added to that is the component of, you know, maybe you're on the same page, and then at some point in the wedding planning process, the person in the wedding party has something, a life event happen.
Yeah, life
whether
happens.
It's getting fired, starting a new job, getting pregnant, happened to my maid of honor, you know, going through a nasty breakup, having an illness themselves, having an illness or accident, like tragedy in the family, like so much. And so the marrier needs to have empathy and compassion and understanding and grace with this person if there could be so many reasons why they just can't show up for them as they want to in that moment.
I expect that, and I hope that whoever is listening to this episode is either someone who is going to be part of a wedding party or a marrier and considering, or already has asked, you know, someone to be their honored attendant. And I think that there's a couple of things that both sides should know. And obviously we're talking about communication and, you know, but financially it is a commitment, and it is a large commitment. And, you know, if it's a destination wedding, way more of a commitment, right? I mean, time and money, but just even a local wedding. I mean, I know that, you know, people have told me that they're spending upwards of like $1,200 to be a bridesmaid or a groomsman, you know, just, you know, getting their clothing, getting their grooming, helping pay for a party, a gift for the couple. There's a huge level of commitment financially and emotionally, and your time, taking time off of work, you know? So I feel like when someone is engaged and they have it in their mind already, like I've got to have, you know, I want to have five on my side and five on my partner's side. And, you know, they're thinking photos. That's what they're thinking right away. And like fun, but
they're comparing to all the weddings they've seen,
that they've
of.
Seen or been growing up and like saw their family photos, like been dreaming, like, I'm going to have a big wedding party and it's going to be, we're going to like, how do they stand by height? Yeah. We'll put Jennifer Fogo next to me and then it will be Sasha and you know, whatever. But it's just like really grasp this concept that this is a huge undertaking, obviously just planning your wedding if you're a marrier, but being part of the wedding party. And it's, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong to, or to not have a wedding party. I don't think any of us are saying that. I think it's just like so great that we are just like educating people right now on what the hell does this really mean? Really know what you're getting into here?
And to piggyback on that conversation, if we've established that you should have that kind of big conversation with each person that you're asking, and you're going to listen and you're going to talk and there's going to be like, we're all on the same page. What happens, or consider your reaction if you do begin that conversation and the person you're asking at the end of it says, you know, all of those things considered, I would like to politely decline the invitation, but I can't wait to be a guest and to celebrate you. And if I can make it to the shower, I totally will. I love you. I hope that's okay. I want to open, I hope we can open everybody's minds to that being okay. It is not, it doesn't mean somebody loves you any less or is any less of a friend if you ask them to do this and their answer ultimately for whatever reason is, no, I'd rather not.
Yeah. And I think what will kind of lessen that blow, because of course, I mean, we have to acknowledge that of course that is going to hurt your feelings as the person asking, like that is a normal reaction. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be bummed out. It's okay to be disappointed, but you have to respect that person's position. And I think when we, and this is sort of just the whole message of the book, is that when we understand why people are acting the way that they do, or why they're behaving a certain way, or why they give you that particular answer, that helps you to take things less personally. And so it, as part of that conversation, if the person explains, you know, I can't afford it. I can't take off that much time from work. I can't be there for you emotionally. I'm going through my own stuff right now. Like when they give you that reason, that should help you understand, like, this has nothing to do with you as a person. It's not that they don't love you. It's not that they wouldn't love to support you in this way, but it's just that they can't do that for you
and
right
they
now.
They don't want to disappoint you, right?
Right. Like they
don't
they want feel to. Terrible. Yeah. Like they feel terrible for saying that. And so it's just like, if we can kind of have this mutual understanding and grace for each other, then it's going to go a long way. And like, also think about respecting their decision, because if you didn't respect their decision, or they didn't have sort of the like courage to answer that honestly, then you get them as part of the wedding party. They can't show up for you. And then it's just everybody, it's
drama.
A bigger mess. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
I think, you know, just highlighting one pager, and it's just, it's so, this is so common. And this happens so often. It says being a member of the wedding party can bring up a lot of emotions for people, depending on the maturity level. They might not know how to react to someone else being the center of attention, or they might be jealous. If they're perpetually or even currently single, your marriage could dredge up feelings of inadequacy. That really happens all the time. All the time. And that's why I wanted, you know, I feel like, again, like just the emotional commitment. And like you're saying, Leah, if someone asks you to be in the wedding party and you just know that you just can't be there the way you need to be there, you should decline it. And the merrier should be, just obviously they're going to be a little bummed, but like me being the person who asked, I would be like, okay, I get it. I respect that, because I don't want to have those horrible memories 20 years from now of us fighting because you were such a bitch for my wedding, and I just don't get it. Why can't you just be happy for me?
Yeah. I mean, that happened to me when I was super young, like still in college and in somebody's wedding. Like I was not my best self for a whole host of reasons. And, you know, like I didn't know, I was too young. I didn't know what, like, right. what this whole thing was part of. And like the bride had actually previously had sort of a whole other different like set of bridesmaids, and then plans changed and like those people were out and then a new group was in, and like, you know, it was just a mess. And so I, at that point, like, I think it was either like 19 or 20, probably 19, like not, you know, I was not ready to be a bridesmaid at that age and like really be able to show up for somebody emotionally.
Yeah.
One of the like truths that I just wrote down that we just like, anybody listening, one thing you just, this is inherent. If you have to accept it, it is what it is. The wedding is not as important to anyone else as it is to you.
Yep. 100%.
That goes for your coworkers, you know, the person at the DMV in line behind you while you're on your phone talking to somebody about wedding details and they have to listen to it all, but also your wedding party, even the most excited, supportive, what do you need me to do? Let's DIY some stuff. Like even that bridesmaid, the wedding day is not as important to her as it is to you. And that is as it should be. But sometimes our pressure for perfection, I think anybody's leads to sort of a righteous indignation. It's my wedding, girls.
Yeah.
Are you seriously going to go get coffee this morning without me when we're supposed to be doing hair and makeup? It's my wedding. It's like, oh, I thought we were all autonomous women here.
And I've been part of that wedding party. I have been part of that wedding party.
And like, and one of the quotes I got from a person who had been married was, she's like, it's not like the movie. Your bridesmaids are not like, it's not like the movies. Which I think is also totally accurate, because we have this unrealistic picture of like what our wedding day is supposed to be. I mean, frankly, the movie Bridesmaids, where Kristen Wiig is like punching through the giant like cookie cake, is probably a more realistic depiction of what happens with wedding parties than this whole like perfect, like smiley day.
That's such a great movie.
So yeah, it was a fantastic movie.
God, it's a good movie.
So let's talk about firing a wedding party member. Plenty of reasons to do so. We've answered emails, Michelle and I, where our advice, depending on the circumstances, and some people write very long emails, so we get a good idea. And some, you know, there's missing information and we're like, something else happened here. But sometimes our advice is, yes, it is appropriate for you to have a conversation, and that person needs to just not be in this role or in your life. And then other times our answer is like, you know, some grace and space is going to go a long way. She did this. You said this. She said this. There's this much time left before the wedding. Our advice is you make amends and she stays. So it's not always, it's never, you know, black and white. Like, you want to fire someone, fire them. And even, I'm just saying fire because that's kind of our like shorthand way to talk about it. But what happens when you have asked someone, and let's start with the scenario that the friendship itself kind of dissolves in the process of a year of planning?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, the answer is never, you know, black or white, right or wrong, yes or no. But what I think maybe a universal approach to the situation is, no matter what has happened, is sort of you as the marrier, what is going to give you the most peace for your most peace and like zen and least anxiety for your wedding day. So in some situations that might be having a conversation where like it's an airing of grievances, you both get back on the same page and like you're able to make amends and move forward. Sometimes it might be a situation where it's like, I'd be fine with this person being a guest at the wedding, but you know, I don't want them like as part of the getting ready process and like as intimately involved in the wedding as they would be if they were in the wedding party. And then sometimes the answer is going to be like, whatever happened was just so significant that like having them present at the wedding day is not going to be okay for me. And so the marrier has to kind of prioritize their sort of mental health, their partners, like the peace and drama free of everybody in making that decision.
Yeah. You might have to weigh how much positivity versus negativity are you looking at and be realistic about that. Some people, we love them. They're our families, but they bring out the worst in us and in others. And if you're listening to this, then nodding your head, you probably have some examples, you know, not all sisters and mothers or in-laws and cousins, like not everybody gets along. And a wedding party is one of those unique situations where you're not just ranking people essentially, but you're pulling in humans who don't know each other at all sometimes.
That's one of the biggest
challenges. Sit around for 8 hours. And I hope my best friends all like each other. You know,
they're not always going to do that.
No, I was jogging my brain to like thinking about instances and wedding parties, and there I do remember not too long ago, it was 2019 before the world was insane. Well, it was insane, but not in the way it was with COVID. But anyway, I did do a wedding here in California, and there was a wedding party. And I remember going up to her room. It was at a private home, going up to the room where she was getting ready. Cause I usually go up there, you know, we go up there and just check on them, make sure they're okay, see if they need any kind of like mental, you know, massaging, so to speak. And I walked in and all of her girls were around her in this like circle, and they were all like talking to each other and like hugging each other and just giving her all this love. And I could feel that just beautiful energy when I walked into the room, and she was smiling just like it was heaven. And it was like, oh, she's good. Like, they've got this. She's great. And I just thought, God, why can't it always be like this? And it has been, but not as often as it should be. And I thought to myself, you know, she chose the right people. She had the people around her.
She fostered a good environment.
Yes. And that says a lot about her and, you know, a lot about her choice. So, I mean, when you, you know, if you feel like that is those are your peeps, you know what I mean? That's your crew. That's your ride or die. That's how it's going to feel on your wedding day with those people. Have that friggin' wedding party. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Have it. But if you don't think that's really how it's going to go, just don't. Just don't. You know how you are and you know how they are, right?
And I want to add in a little pro tip here, because this happens. There's plenty of times where I've seen like the wedding party is there and super supportive of the people getting married. But then they're jerks to us as planners or vendors.
Our assistants.
And right. And I'm like, just as a pro tip to a marrier, please like communicate to your wedding party that, you know, like speak highly of us, tell them good things about us so that they will love us as much as you do. Because like when they're jerks, it just makes for a really unpleasant experience for us. And it happens more than you think. Like I remember in one case, like I was trying to help the bride bustle. Because as planners, we've seen like every single possible configuration of a bustle like that exists and can do it much better, like at least be able to help. Not saying we can do it better, but like we're at least a helpful pair of set of hands or a pair of eyes to like oversee somebody helping them do this. And the bridesmaids were just like, no, we're fine. Essentially, go away. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
I have been so surprised at some of my weddings because I am so fond of the couple. Like there are weddings we do where it's business and it's professional and it's lovely and they pay us and we do a great job. But there are also weddings we do where like there's a heart connection, and that's more often than not. I'm very fond of the two people I've been working with for this long. They like me. They think I'm funny. They hired me for a reason. Like I feel in my element, like all things are good. And I have been like, shocked. I can think of two weddings where my connection with the bride clearly did not translate into her VIPs that were in the room. And it was straight up uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I'd walk into the room and like a record would scratch off, like in a bar in a movie when there's about to be a brawl. And I'm just like, hi. And would kind of almost look at the bride to be like,
help
you. You told them I'm awesome, right? Like, why is this a weird thing? But it's honestly, it's because that bride loved her friends and her friends were rude. So you don't always see that your friends are like rude people. And I'm talking like mean to the waiter rude.
Yep.
And that was what it was. And it was, you know, uncomfortable and crappy. And also like I did the heart part of me was a little bit like, that's, you know, that's going to make today kind of not as awesome for me. Yeah. And it's just a bummer, but it happens sometimes. So that's great advice to sort of preface your crew that you have hired people to help you. So be nice to those people.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not just, it is a contracted relationship.
Yeah. And my observation in those situations has honestly been that in a lot of cases, the wedding party members that behave badly are people from further back in the marrier's past. So like it's a, you know, a best friend from college or from childhood. So it's somebody that's kind of like been part of their chosen family for a very long time and they can't like cut them loose versus the people who are like current friends. Because like, obviously as you get older, you're more discerning about friendships and the people that you let in your life. And so it's probably less likely that somebody who's a jerk is going to find their way into your friend circle. But when you've got those carryovers from other parts of your life, that's my observation has been, is that those are the worst.
And most sometimes likely there offenders. Is some like territorial stuff.
Oh yes.
Like you're in here to tell us what to do. And like you said, those bridesmaids were like, no, thanks. We got it. That vibe when they, you know, their faces hit the door and they're like, oh, you again, we've got it. Mm-hmm. Like we're taking care of her.
Yeah. And then there's the times like the opposite end of the spectrum. And this is what I also like to tell my clients in terms of how I work with them and want to meet their family in advance and like be, you know, be incorporated into like their little dynamic, because in some cases, like we are sort of the safe space for like either the wedding party or the parents. We're the familiar face. So like when they don't know anybody else, like if something happens, like they'll come to us if they need something, or like, it's just great to sort of feel like you're integrated into that family unit or the wedding party, because they do respect you. They do like you. So that's just that makes us as planners just feel amazing, because we like to be helpful. And so when people come to us because like they recognize us, or we've been talking with them for like a year plus, like that's an awesome, like the opposite end of the spectrum. That's just such a welcome, like heartwarming feeling.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
I know.
you really never know. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, any type of person walking this earth could be somebody getting married, and any type of person walking this earth could be part of their wedding party or their parents. And you just, you know, you got to be ready to deal with that shit. It's just like, ooh.
I had a question and we could kind of like best practices, like quick fire. But when it comes to the looks, you know, I think gone are the days where like you get married, you pick out one dress, you have all your people wear that, or it's, you know, show up in a black tux and that's that. We're all going to get it from a rental place and that's what we're doing. And all your looks are going to match. And we're all doing curled updos, and I have matching necklaces for you all to wear. I think we are beyond that with most modern weddings, but what are some best practices? These people have agreed to be in your wedding party. You've moved forward. It's now like time to plan the actual wedding day.
Yeah. So when it comes to attire, if you aren't, if you are doing away with like picking the one outfit and saying like, here's what you're getting, I still think that you should give your wedding party as much detail and specificity as possible, because it can almost be a harder situation where they're like, wear whatever you want, or like, pick a blue and like wear whatever you want, because then it's kind of like, well, is this okay? Like what kind of blue is it?
Do I have to send you pictures?
Turquoise? Do I have to get swatches? Like there's just too much unknown. And so one of the things that I've been suggesting, like for particularly for when it comes to bridesmaids dresses, is there's a ton of brands that do a variety of colors and they do a variety of styles. And so kind of like picking a brand, and within that picking the different color options can be helpful. And then saying like, here are the different styles that are available, like pick whatever is, you know, you feel most comfortable in or what is flattering to you. And that way it's not like just giving them, the world is not their oyster. They have some parameters around what they should be picking, or like, yeah. So I think that's kind of, that's helpful. Even just saying like, you know, like we said, a blue floor length gown, like that can mean so many different things, like
and
sequins.
No one wants to feel awkward the day of, cause they're like, oh shit, I am off.
Yeah. And I've had actually multiple brides who wanted like an ombre effect amongst their bridesmaids. So that required like even more
coordination
of that. Oh God, I will never forget. At the very last minute, this one bride was like, oh, we need to switch these people in the processional order because her dress is actually like darker than hers. And I was like, it was also a challenging client. And I was like, you have to be kidding. Like literally I'm sending these people down the aisle and they're like, we're changing the order. Ooh. So that's my thought on attire, is to like kind of try, like, even if you want to give people freedom, I fully agree on like letting people wear colors that are going to be complementary to skin tones and what they look good in. And also making sure you have styles that people feel good in. Cause like comfort, mm-hmm. across the board for everybody is so important on the wedding day. So you want people to be comfortable, but giving them those kind of parameters is super helpful. And then don't dictate what kind of hairstyle your wedding party has to have.
You know, so many do. You see those pictures where they all have the same flowy,
half it's so
up,
old
curly.
School. It's so, so old school, but it's also controlling. I was watching Girls, you know, HBO Girls. I was just rewatching it. And what's her name?
Marnie
was getting married. Thank you. And they were all at that, you know, inn or whatever. And the hair and makeup stylist comes in and Marnie's like, I am so easy. Like I'm the most so chill bride ever. I'm so relaxed. Like you guys just do what you want. But Hannah, like you're like, can you please do like, and then she says that, but she is totally controlling everything, telling exactly what to do with the hair. But I am so easy. I am so chill. You know, you're not chill. You know, you're not chill. I don't think it's right to control and tell how the hair should be how the makeup. Now, if there's one of your friends who you really love a lot, but you were just like, she's always got a different color hair. It's going to make me freaking crazy. And she wears like that crazy cat eye that's way too dark, or she's totally goth right now. Then have maybe a convo with her in advance. If you really think it's that bad and you need to choose your battles here, but that is very controlling. It just
or maybe
is.
Don't have that person as part of the wedding party to begin with.
Yeah. But you know, like maybe it's your sister and you love her and you cannot stand her style choices at all.
I think brides can sometimes be inadvertently insulting with like style dictation or, you know, rules also, because we're all adults at this point. Our appearance is an expression of mm-hmm. our personality. You know, and I have met bridesmaids before that are non-binary and they're putting themselves into a dress that they feel extremely uncomfortable in. I hope I don't see that again in a wedding that I've done. Mm. I do, but also sometimes women, and let's speaking just to the woman's experience, do not wear a lot of makeup. It's not their thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how elevated the event is. It makes them uncomfortable, or they have sensitive skin, or they're just not into it. So you can't stomp on that. This is a person, how they live their life. I mean, I'm all for like doing it up a little bit because it is an elevated event, but that is you thinking of the event as a whole, not the individuals who you've asked to be a part of it. They're not decor. They're not rentals. They're humans that you love. So don't dictate what kind, you know, what level of eyelash they get.
Yeah.
I think that can be more offensive than you think it is.
Right. And you should be asking them to be part of the wedding party because you love them as the whole person that they are. Like you love their hair color. You love the tattoos. You love, you know, whatever it is. Like
none of it defines.
Right. You've asked them to be part of this because you love who they are. And so you have to an extent, like honor that. So it's about setting those expectations from the beginning. Like if in your head, you have this vision of like a very uniform wedding party with the same hair and the same makeup and the same dress, then that also kind of dictates who you ask to be part of that wedding party, because some people might not be down for that. So
yeah, that's good to be realistic about your own visions and dreams.
You need some self-awareness.
Pinterest board for your wedding party. If you want, you know, a bunch of supermodels standing next to you, and then you look at your friends and cousins and sisters, like you would never, or I would hope nobody would ever be like, I want you to be a bridesmaid. You have to lose 40 pounds before. We've heard those nightmares, but we would not want that, but it's similar with the rest of them too.
So that's a thing. I was at one of the weddings I had, some of the bridesmaids who were the bride's friends were like supermodel pretty. They were actually all pageant, girls, formerly like pageant competitors. And then the two sisters of the groom just did not have that body type. And they put them all in the same dress. And it was very obvious that the two sisters were uncomfortable. And the one sister, like as soon as the ceremony was over, changed into a different dress. And like I wasn't so privy to the family dynamics and that. So I don't know if that was an act of like a fuck you for sticking me in that to begin with, yeah. or just like, hey, I don't know if she gave the bride a heads up that she was going to change, but it was just very, very clear that like people's comfort and confidence was not taken into account when selecting attire. And yeah. so that, and that's just no fun to see. Like,
yeah,
I tell couples when they're finding it or like marriers, when they're finding attire, like find something that you're comfortable in right now, not when you lose a certain number of pounds, not when you tone up, not when you get a tan, like what you feel amazing in today. Because if those things don't happen and you're not comfortable on your wedding day, it's going to show on your face in the pictures. You're not going to enjoy your day. You're going to be super self-conscious. And that's not how we want you walking through your day.
Yep.
Yes. Very good point.
There's one point that I want to mention that we didn't quite hit on. And that was one of my clients who opted to not have a wedding party. And after the fact, the bride, and I talk about this in the book, after the fact, the bride regretted it a little bit because she felt that like since she wasn't having a wedding party, she didn't have a group getting ready with her. And so her regret was that she didn't have a group of friends still like getting ready. And so even if you don't have a wedding party, you can still incorporate the people that mean a lot to you that are special, like into the wedding day activities rather than kind of feeling like you're flying solo that morning.
Totally. We get asked all the time. I don't want bridesmaids, but I do want my friends involved. What do you think? And we're like, yep. Makeup and mimosas. Duh.
Yes.
Everybody likes that. Wow. Put together a good playlist, get some donuts, but you know, things like that, that are more experienced on the wedding day. I think that's a way to ask your friends to partake in something that doesn't necessarily feel obligatory or like a burden to anyone.
Totally.
Good point. Okay. Well, if you have questions specifically about this topic, wedding parties to wedding party or not to wedding party, or how to navigate this, of course you can email us and I will be happy to forward all emails to Leah for her input.
I am happy to, people have questions. I am happy to answer them. So email, DM me on Instagram. Let's start a conversation.
Yes. Give us your Instagram and website.
Yes. So I am colorpopevents.com and then at colorpopevents on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, though don't check out my Twitter. There's not much happening on there.
You got it. So head to Twitter for the good stuff, lots of info and links. And I know we'll be in touch. We got to hit you up for a live
one. Yes,
that maybe would be we should so do a fun wedding party themed live.
Yeah, ooh, answer all those questions.
That's a good idea.
So thank
we
you.
We can do like rapid fire, just knock them out.
Yes. Yeah. This is no, this is yes, this is crazy. Tell her to shut up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Down for it. All right, Missy. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you both.
So good
this
to
was
see
such
you.
A delight to get to hang out with the two of you for an hour.
Yeah. Congrats on the book.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for putting us in there.
Yeah. That's so exciting. You all can check that out. We are on page 217, second paragraph. Okay. Love it. All right. Thank you. Oh, and check it out. The Wedding Roller Coaster, Leah's book. It is really good reading while you're
available
your
on
wedding.
Amazon
and available on Amazon. Bye. Thank you, Leah.
All right, bye.
Bye. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, You can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.